Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're talking again.
Bodies for me.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast where the hosts have signed an unholy pact with the devil to dedicate themselves in life and in death to body swap movies. I'm your devilish host, Paul Mitzi, and with me we have the horrifying
Lucy Thomas
and the ghoulish
Brendan Levi.
Did you try and do the Simpsons thing and you couldn't think of anything? Same here. I was like, Lucifer?
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 2020 sci-fi horror Possessor, starring Sean Bean, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and Christopher Abbott, where an assassin who kills by taking over the bodies of others struggles to control the body of her current host. But before we get into that depravity, just a reminder that we are dying to hear from our listeners, and we will devour film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com, or spell out Swapcast on your nearest Ouija board. If you want to support our cult, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request. Our souls, to review Face Off. So guys, happy Halloween. Yay. I know we all really look forward to our Halloween episodes every year.
Spooky.
Very spooky.
So, unto Possessor. I ask this every year. We have not had the best run with our Halloween episodes. Is this finally the year where we have found a film that we can all agree is actually good and actually scary?
I would have to hear everyone else's opinion to know if we can all agree on this question. Me personally, I would say no.
Ooh, not good, not scary, or not either?
Yep, I agree.
I concur.
I think there's some good parts to this movie, and there's it, like, as far as a Halloween watch, I guess it is pretty visceral and very has a lot of interesting visuals and stuff that could definitely put it in the category of Halloween watching. Yeah, I think we'll get into it.
Yeah, I didn't think it was scary. It was very yucky, but,
it's yucky, yeah.
I wrote yuck in my notes so many times.
How many movies would you say are actually spooky?
I get scared in movies.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty desensitized, but there's definitely ones that, you know, just have that vibe about them. Like, you know, The Ring or that kind of... I think The Ring is my, like... That's a good example for me. Like, it just has that feeling of unease, spooky imagery. Like, it feels like a horror film.
Oh, okay.
Well, even we should have just pushed the Get Out episode a couple of weeks and done that as Halloween. I think Get Out is scary.
I don't know. I think it's rare that I'm, like, feeling... like actually fear watching something.
I have to say I didn't find it scary like you guys, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was cool.
You
and interesting.
Enjoyed it?
Yeah. Like, yeah, it for this kind of film,
Like, obviously, it's not like watching, you know, Mean Girls or something. It's not that kind of enjoyment. Mm. But it's just like it was effective in what it did. Mm. I was engaged the whole time. It had some really cool, interesting imagery in it. I thought the performances were really good.
So I thought the performances were good, but I was not engaged the whole time. I found I thought it was a bit of a drag, and it was like very stylized. I get that, but it was quite stark, and yeah, it just didn't grab me all the time. But I did think everyone was doing their job well.
And you know, I think this holds the record for the most erect penises we've ever had in a SWAT movie. So that's got to count for something, right?
Like, yeah, and I think the most gratuitous checking of the junk as well.
Yeah, I loved that that's always played for laughs. And in this, it was just like a genuine, it was like a medical examination. He was like lifting it up and...
Yeah. I wasn't complaining. I like, you know, I'm glad if it was anyone that we had to see, like, closely examine his penis in explicit detail, it was Christopher Abbott. But I guess I'll get to that in the hot or not. But, but yeah, it is funny how, you know, these films that we watch, like, hit the same notes, but by putting it in this different genre, it's like the same scene we've seen a million times in this completely different context, completely recontextualizing it. 'Cause, you know, it's funny that you could make a lot of parallels with this film and, like, comedies like All of Me with Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin, like, yeah, this is one of the most horrific, gruesome films you could probably ever watch. Mm. And that was a lighthearted comedy, yet they still share so much DNA.
You know what else it shares DNA with? What was the one? Swap Me Baby, because you see the balls from behind.
There was a lot of sex and nudity in this film. Like, this is the uncut version that we all watch. So, I'm interested to know how different this version was to the original cut version. Did either of you like look that up at all?
No.
What we got extra? I'm guessing the boners were the big difference. Because you usually can't show boners in movies, so...
Yeah, is that a rule? Is that, like...
I think it's a rule that's been relaxed a lot, like, recently. But it used to be, in Australia, if you had an erect penis in a film, then it would get a X classification and would therefore be banned in Australia. Mm-hmm. I remember in the 90s, there was a film that had an erect penis in it.
You would remember that.
And Australia banned it. And I remember Margaret
protesting,
and David.
It was
Gosford Park, right?
Gosford Park? Does it have... That's like... That's not a movie.
No,
with penises.
What was it called?
Ken Park.
Yeah, that was... And Margaret Pomerantz had like an illegal screening of it.
Yeah, yeah. And then she got arrested. Mm. Yeah. She got arrested for the right of us getting
penis
to see
power.
Penises.
Yeah.
That's why I love Margaret Pomerantz. but
and
now
all
I'm imagining.
Jewelry.
Yeah.
Gosford Park, guys.
Yeah. I'm imagining Gosford Park with dicks now.
I mean, that sounds like a great movie, but.
Yeah. Someone remake Gosford Park with penises.
Yeah.
Wait, does that mean that pornography was illegal? Like.
So, yeah, so X-rated pornography. So, if you showed
an erect penis
erect
porn.
Erect, yeah, if you showed erect penis, like full flaps or penetration, you would get an automatic X in Australia. So, pornographic stuff would get banned. The only state in Australia that you could legally show it or buy it was Canberra.
So, where all our politicians are.
Yeah, and you can like have fireworks. You can have fireworks there, and what? Canberra's weird, man. I think it's that they know that it's so boring to live there. that.
Yeah.
They have to give you something to do. So you can light, yeah, light fireworks porn and watch porn.
Porn and fireworks. Sounds like a fun evening. But yeah, that's since been relaxed. So you can all rest easy. You can legally.
So we were okay to watch this movie.
Yes, yes.
The cops come, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, could you imagine, like, I never see my son again because I watched
Possessor. Possessor for the soap cast.
Why weren't you there when I was a kid, Dad? I did a Swapcast movie podcast.
All right, so let's do the 30-second plot summary where I try to sum up the plot of Possessor in 30 seconds on the fly.
I'm actually really looking forward to this because I need a few things cleared up. Like, I have some questions that I don't quite understand. So tell us all about it, Paul. Ready, set, go.
So there's a woman, she's an assassin, and the way she kills people is that she enters the bodies of other people and then kills people close to them, and she enters the body of this guy so that he can kill his girlfriend and his dad, but then something happens and the guy starts taking control back of the body, and then like they're killing people, and then he kills her family, and then she ends up winning. Ding. And takes over. So I guess that's most of it. So what did you need cleared up, Lucy?
So who wants this procedure? Like, why, like, who is the client for this?
So, yeah, Sean Bean is the CEO of this company. He's like a multi-billionaire, and his brother is the one that pays for the assassin because he knows if Sean Bean dies and then his daughter dies, then he gets to take over the company.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so, I must have yawned in that bit or something because it was not coming across.
They choose the daughter's boyfriend as the person that the assassin is going to go into, and then he's going to pretend to have like a psychotic break, mm-hmm, and kill everyone else and then return back into her own body once that's done.
And like, my God, this is the most unethical. It's terrible.
Well, they're assassins.
Yeah, but like they ruin someone else's life. Like, this, all the crime gets pinned on someone else. Like, it's not just a random person dies.
Yeah. Well, like, multiple people have to die to pull this off. Exactly. Because the only way they can return to their own body is to shoot themselves in the head at the end of it.
Yeah, which is
I just thought that was a matter of like cleaning it up. I just assumed anyone that they roped into this, they could coerce by just saying, yeah, we'll give you $1 million. Like,
yeah.
What does it matter? You're going to kill him anyway. But, yeah.
But, yeah, I kind of like that it was, like, super fucked up and dark. And
why? Like, you never like stuff like that. Who are you? And where is Paul?
This is Halloween, Paul.
And then, okay, can you tell me, and I refuse to call him anything but Charlie. What's your guy's name? The guy whose dick we saw?
Christopher Abbott.
Okay, what was his job?
And what else has he been in? Because I feel like he looks really familiar.
We already did this last episode. We already educated you.
He's from
you
Girls.
On
He's from Girls.
Okay.
Yeah. So it seems like his job was to spy on people's webcams and see what products they have in their house so they know what to sell them. So it's kind of like, you know,
that's
the way your
Snowden
phone...
That's shit, man. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's funny. This is super relevant because, like, last night I was at a party and one of my friends was talking about, like, gag Secret Santa gifts, and he was saying that
last year... I thought
you were
going to be, like, gag, like... I was like, yeah, no,
no. At this party.
like, but yeah, no, he was,
well, he was saying that last year he bought someone for Secret Santa a egg ring that's shaped as a penis. So when you like make your eggs in the morning, it's like a dick egg. And like, that's a pretty random thing. Today, I made up Facebook. first targeted ad was a dick-shaped egg ring.
But, Paul, are you sure that, like, just before you fell asleep, you went like, I could go for some dick eggs?
I mean, I usually do, but I don't type it into my phone.
The only thing I can think of with that is your friend's house that you were at, do you use their Wi-Fi?
No.
Oh, well. Then but like, we're out. It is some
geolocations. They're like, oh, these people are all in the same house, and they like, all seem to have looked at dick eggs.
Was someone googling? Yeah.
But the thing is, like, the dick egg isn't called a dick egg, and he only referred to it as a dick egg.
Mm.
But in the ad, it's like comedy egg shape or something like that. So the phone was able to listen to the conversation, decipher it, and then target an ad. Like, it's fucked up.
Yeah, I can't hear stuff like that. It freaks me out, man.
I think you are making it up, and none of that stuff happens.
It's fucking true. I'll send you the screenshot of the dick egg.
Also, I object to dick egg. I feel like it should be, like, shaped like ovaries or something. It's, you guys,
well, you the guys targeted don't get to ad,
have that as well.
No, the targeted ad had, it's a two-pack. You get a dick and a pair of boobs.
It should be sperm. It should be shaped like a sperm.
What? So it looks like cum when you're eating it.
No, nobody so it's wants going to
disgusting. For breakfast. I want to eat an actual penis.
It's going to fertilize the egg. When a man and a woman love each other very much.
I just think if you're having a full English breakfast, the sausage is already the penis substitute. So exactly. Why do you need the
get
eggs?
The eggs be, let it be ovaries. Oh my god, I have literally no idea where I'm doing.
I was really hoping we could stretch this out for at least 10 minutes.
Yeah. Sorry, my question was what Charlie's job was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I was
also at a party last night and recommended listening to our podcast, and I just picture them tuning in and be like, what the like skip,
dick eggs.
Skip, yeah. And they're still talking about fucking dick eggs.
Did you? I know Hugo Weaving was literally at that
the party.
I didn't
did
you tell
eggs.
Him?
Oh, wait. Oh,
did you tell
much.
Him to listen?
No, I didn't.
Oh, damn. He could have been listening about dick eggs. Sorry, Lucy.
I was just going to say, you know, Brendan asked what that actor was from, and we're like, he's from Girls. In his whole bio on IMDb, it doesn't mention it at all. It like,
oh really?
Yeah, he doesn't think he's Charlie from Girls.
Yeah, because he left that show in a huff.
But then I think they reconciled, and that's why he came and did that weird that Panic in Needle Park-esque episode.
That the character had nowhere else to go, and so he's like, I don't want to be part of this show anymore, and just left. Obviously he wanted to do this movie and he knew he just couldn't do both. But what other funny stuff happened in this film, Roman? That child got brutally murdered.
Yeah, I was not okay with that. That was not cool.
Yeah, it's not something you see very often because I think it is pretty confronting.
And also just like, it just bothered me on a cellular level. Like, did that child actor really participate in that scene? Did he really get shot and have like a squib and have to hold a weapon and stuff? Like, I wasn't down.
Yeah, to pretend to like stab someone in the neck and I always stuff like this. I'm always like, oh man, like I don't know if I had a kid and they wanted to be an actor, I could even though it's it's pretend, it still just feels like I don't know. You got to reach a certain level of maturity. But.
Yeah, that's a no from me, dog.
I think the more disturbing thing is that kid. So earlier on, the kid is showing his mum his new toy, which was this like extremely disturbing dancing doll. I think that doll is more disturbing than any of the other things that he had to do in this film. Like, what the fuck was that?
There was a couple of times when, you know, this thing, it felt like futuristic. And then there was a couple of times when it had these weird kind of throwbacks. Like that doll was one. Like that doll looked like it was from the 60s.
Yeah.
And there's like too crazy dancing, but like its face and stuff. It was very like vintage.
I think it was intentional. Like the technology is very vintage at sometimes. Like sometimes people are using flip phones, and then other times people are using iPads.
And then like they also have like old 70s car? Like, furniture.
The car was really. And yeah. I mean, what do you mean that was intentional? That's messy to me. What, are you having an iPad and a flip phone?
It's an aesthetic, you know?
Yeah.
I think it was kind of in sex education where everyone for some reason is dressed like they're from the 80s.
But then they have like phones from the like now.
Yeah, but you can't have a flip phone and an iPad in the same movie. That just isn't.
You can't have kids liking Duran Duran and also having an iPhone. So
I just think that what they were trying to do is kind of make it not our reality. I think it was supposed to be like a different reality. So it wasn't the future, it wasn't the past, it was just another completely different.
I feel like
it was a mess.
Brendan Cronenberg was like, what would my dad do?
Yeah.
He'd make movies in the 80s that were actually spot on 80s is what he would do.
So you're a big David Cronenberg
fan? Oh, yeah, I'm a huge Cronenberg head. No, you know, I watched all those movies back in the day. I wouldn't, like, they're not on my top 10 lists or whatever, but...
But I think I really appreciated Brandon Cronenberg's direction in this. I think there's some really well done shots. I love that one where, like, the kind of that white ball is like pulsating and floating in midair, and then like it cuts from like a shot of his face to an extreme close up of his fingers picking it up. Like there was a lot of those like really cool shots. Like I appreciate it.
What I'll say is I know this movie wasn't for me. Like I think like there were lots of things about it that were very well done, and I won't sit here and rag on Brandon Cronenberg because you know it must be hard like growing up and
the shadow.
And so I do think he did a great job. It just didn't like tickle my fancy.
Will you give that? I think this has probably the coolest looking body swap we've ever had. Like when they initially swap,
I agree,
and it's kind of like their body
melting this black void is
and then reconfiguring
cells. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah,
that was time lapse.
Cool. Yeah, no, this sort of leaned into that like 70s where you used to do like. What's it called? Where like you sort of match like what's going on screen with visuals that aren't necessarily to do with what's actually physically going on, but are like it's supposed to express what it's like the emotions or the feelings of what's If I paid attention at university, I'd be able to say,
"Don't you study this stuff?"
But yeah, imagine if, you know, Mr. Fuzzy Pants had that swap. Like, I was just imagining, just put that, like, visuals in all the other body swap movies we've done.
I feel like they could have gone harder in on that kind of stuff, like it to be more present.
I don't know. I feel like there was a lot of that stuff. Like, when like, they're fighting for his body and there's pops her head like a balloon and then
wears
her face as a mask.
Oh, the mask.
That was so fucked up. Yeah. I kind of want to track down that mask and wear it for Halloween.
Yeah, it was very... That was the scariest thing about the movie, for sure. I feel like
The visuals of this whole thing were, awesome. Like,
I feel like this is a good segue into my next question, which is why him? Like, why... Was he his body fighting back with this? I want to say surrogate, what possessor? Like, why did this happen in this instance?
The way I interpreted it is that it seemed like the assassin, she was losing her mind.
So it was her.
Yeah, so she was weakened.
From doing it so many times. Yeah.
Yeah, and it just, like, broke while she, in the middle of her being him. It just broke and he was able to take over.
Yeah.
I know. Is that what you thought, Brendan? Or
I cheated a bit. I watched, like, some interviews with Brendan Cronenberg.
Yeah.
And he was talking about writing this film based on sometimes not feeling like you're yourself or like you're some sort of manufactured identity that doesn't actually fit your reality. And so it seemed to me like she was more attached to, like, she was more disassociated from her own reality than the reality of this guy that she was, you know, possessing, you know what I mean?
Hmm.
Like, she wasn't a mum who loved her family and her child. And
yeah, it was pretty intense. Like,
she had this, like, bloodlust, like,
yeah,
you know, when, like, she's having sex with her husband.
The way she killed people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like, they were like, we gave you a gun. You could have just shot the guy, like, but no, you stabbed him brutally.
50 times, yeah.
Yeah.
And that when she was having sex with her husband, like, she seemed, like, completely disassociated until she started visualizing the violence that she had just portrayed, and that then she's all of a sudden, like, biting his neck and shit, like, I think she's just messed
that's
up.
Some Jeffrey Dahmer shit, man. Oh yeah.
Have you been watching the Jeffrey Dahmer show, Lucy?
Yeah, look, I did. Yeah.
You say it like it's a crime. I'm so sorry.
Kind of, yeah, like, I think, I don't know if that was the right thing to do. I think a lot of the people that are depicted in the film are still alive.
Yeah.
And, like, weren't consulted at all, and, like, massive, like, swaths of what they said in court cases and, like, police files and whatever has just been, like, put into a film, and they weren't. Like, I just don't know how ethically, you know. And also, I just... Are we still doing this? Like, another version of the, like, but also I couldn't look away. So.
Yeah. I just feel like for me, watching that kind of thing that's based on a true story, that gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, as disgusting and violent and full-on as this film was, and, like, I'm pretty desensitized and, like, I can just appreciate it for what it is and go, but, like, watching something that's true and that actually happened to people, that shit sticks with me. Like, and I,
one thing I will say, right, is people were like, this is gratuitous. And, like, people were, like, saying that Jeffrey Dahmer was hot and, like, things like this shouldn't be made or whatever. But the tale of Jeffrey Dahmer is ultimately a story of racism and white supremacy and, like, police failure and also homophobia.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a very strong message in it. Like, I think they weren't just like, this guy killed these people in this really fucked up way and look how fucked up it was. It told the story of how in the 80s, like, nobody cared about these poor neighborhoods. They were underpoliced. It was gay men going missing, largely black and brown people. And, like, neighbors were complaining, like, you need to come over, like, you need to check this out, blah, 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 and nothing happened. It went on for years and years and years. And so the story does tell that, yeah, that's a strong theme throughout.
Yeah, and I think there's probably, like, benefits to these stories being told. It's not like the fucking terrible Hilary Duff Sharon Tate movie where it's just like, watch Hilary Duff be upset for an hour and a half and get brutally murdered, like... And there was, like, 0 point to it.
Yeah.
Unless you hate Hilary Duff.
and then, you know, I don't care about your opinion if you hate Hilary Duff.
I just saw this meme, and it definitely sums up watching that show. You know when Netflix says, are you still there?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, like a sad character looking at the TV, and it was like, I don't know anymore. That's what it was like. It was like, why am I doing this? I don't know.
And they called it the Jeffrey Dahmer Show. That's a terrible name for it.
No, they didn't.
Oh, Paul called it the Jeffrey Dahmer Show.
I think it's called Dahmer Beck. Monster or something like that.
Anyway, so that was our review of Dahmer. Back to the dick eggs, all right? So
hopefully your friend Brendan is still skipping through and got to that bit, exact bit. Dick eggs.
I feel like a certain type of mind must get off on violating people's lives like that. I mean, seriously, hey, how much pussy do you see at work every day?
Rita.
Well, I can only imagine the stuff he sees over there. I jerk off every day in front of my webcam so that Zuthu knows exactly which brand of vibrator I'm using.
We know, and you can stop now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So you heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not. Take it away, Lucy.
Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not. Ding.
Ding. Ding.
Everyone is beautiful
in their own way.
Spooky.
That was fucking awful. That is the scariest part of Halloween.
I still think we need to just record that song properly, put some instruments on it so none of us have to suffer through doing that week to week.
Yeah. We should get a celebrity to sing it for
us. Oh, yeah. Hugo Weaving. Will you please?
If anyone listening knows Hugo Weaving,
and you ask him,
yeah, he is he is literally 10 minutes away from my house right now doing a Q&A. Like, I could go down there.
Why don't we get Hugo Weaving and Kate Blanchett to do a little Lord of the Rings
harmony one? Yeah,
yeah.
This is like my thought process of like, am I going to approach Hugo Weaving?
So there's a segment on our podcast where we talk about how much you want to fuck people in the movies we just watched, and we really need a celebrity to sing the theme song.
And Hugo's like, I'm not even a singer. Like,
can you please do it in the voice of Agent Smith from The Matrix?
I mean, well, I think we like, need to. Yeah.
One of three of the questions I had was, do you want to be on the podcast? Was one of them. And the other two was, have you watched Ring of Power? And the other one was, why would you in the latest Matrix? And he would have just looked at me like, fuck off, mate.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
We need to pivot away from Hugo Weaving, though. And obviously, it's Lindsay Lohan has to sing it. Lindsay Lohan has to sing it, or no one.
Yeah.
Da 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 father. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's Lindsay.
I'm in total support for that.
So, if anyone knows Lindsay.
I think we missed it the boat with that one. She was here for The Masked Singer, and then.
Maybe one day.
We'll never reach her.
So, let's get started with Andrea Riseborough, who played Tasia Voss, who was like the assassin, the main character.
Bleached eyebrows.
Yeah.
So bleached eyebrows are very present at the moment. Kim Kardashian wore them on a magazine cover.
Ollie Alexander's had them for the last few months.
And Julia Fox, Uncut Gems, has them. And she says they're like man repellers, and she loves how much men hate them. So I'm interested to hear.
You look like you're physically ill with your eyebrows.
Yeah, I'm sure albino people love that. I don't mind them. I mean, I'm not going to do it, but I thought,
I'm not a fan of that look.
Of the bleached eyebrow?
I feel like if I was albino, I would dye my eyebrows, so.
I just think, like, maybe it's not an everyday look. Maybe it's not an everyday look, but the option to just once every now and then just to throw a bit of bleach through the eyebrows and throw caution to the wind. Why not?
Maybe just highlights.
Yeah. Maybe just like frosted like eyebrow tips.
Frosted tips.
So I'm looking at her pictures on IMDb, and like she's like a stunner.
Stunning, yeah, I bet.
In real life. Mm. In this film, though, she's
hideous. But is she stabbing anyone?
I feel like in this movie, right, there was one, only really one time where they let her, like, and it's when she went to visit her family. Her hair was, like, nicely blown out, and she was wearing, like, a nice outfit, and she wasn't, like, sweaty and stressed out and all, you know, like, having an absolute life breakdown. So you could see that she was, like, a nice-looking woman. But other than that, I think she was, like, scary assassin woman.
Yeah, I think if you view this in the horror lens, she is like the Michael Myers. She is the Jason of this movie. Like, she is a horrible serial killing psychopath.
Have you seen all those things that it's telling Mariah Carey she looks like Michael Myers?
Yes.
Yeah, so look, she gets not in this movie, but a hot in real life for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Can you explain the Mariah Carey looking like Mike? Isn't it a mask?
Can someone... she looks like the mask. Can somebody get up the image and show it to Brendan, please?
But the mask is like white and like void of eyes.
You gotta see them because once you see it, you can't unsee it. She just tweeted out, "Can you guys stop sending me this shit?" And it was a picture of them comparing her to Michael Myers.
She didn't actually tweet that
out. It was fake.
Yes. Did you find it, Brendan?
People putting a wig on her. Oh, no,
it's good though, right? It's good though, right? That has to go in the socials for no reason.
Yes, yes, okay.
No context.
I'll do that. All right, so next, let's hot or not Brendan.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let me take my top off.
Because his exact double was in this film, Rossif Sutherland as Michael, Tazia's ex-husband.
Oh, wait, he was playing the... Wait, Dave... No, Brendan Cronenberg?
No.
Cronenberg. It's Brandon Cronenberg as well, isn't it? I think you've just done like a little Freudian slip there and been like, it's Brendan.
But no, like the guy that played her... ex-husband or
looks like
husband.
Brendan.
Looks like Brendan. Do you think he looked like Brendan?
I can see it a bit.
I think you're just filing me away under guy has a beard.
Yeah, that's your whole thing, right?
I'm more than just my facial hair, guys.
Well, I think he looks like you, and I think he was a hot, so you should take that as a compliment, Brendan.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Did you find yourself attractive?
Brendan Cronenberg. I think he looks like a ghoul, but...
We're not talking about Brendan Cronenberg.
Fuck. We don't hot or not the directors, generally.
We've really confused
Sorry,
Brendan.
I really ruined this episode. Wait, so do I find myself attractive?
Yeah.
Sometimes I catch myself and I'm like, you're doing all right. You know?
That's nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we all agree he was a hot. He was hot. You got to see his butt. He was a cute butt. Yeah.
I felt very sorry for his character, though.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you couldn't have a worse fate than what happens to him.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And he seemed like such a lovely guy. So.
R.I.P.
Yeah. R.I.P. Brendan. Jennifer Jason Leigh as Gerda. So the, I guess, the boss of the assassin.
She's kind of like an evil mastermind, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like an evil, like literal mastermind. Like she manipulates minds.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, she's the master of minds.
90s, like, you know, psychological horror.
But it's Jennifer Jason Leigh, man. So she gets
a cutie.
Hot. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she plays this kind of role very well. And yeah, she looks good while doing it.
She can rock a pantsuit.
Good for you, honey.
Yeah, I'm going to give her a hot. And let's finish off strong with Christopher Abbott as Colin Tate.
I feel like Brendan's just going to give him a knot just to...
The guy with the penis.
Yeah.
But there were a few penises in the movie, yeah.
His was the flaccid one, not the erect one.
His was the one getting the medical examination.
His was the erect one then?
Well, just some like guy in a webcam.
Mm.
Oh.
And then I was
thinking about when she had his penis. That was his, right?
Well, I doubt it was Christopher Abbott's penis. I think it was just a prosthetic that they attached to her.
Oh, okay.
I doubt they would have gone to the trouble of filming his erect penis and then digitally inserting it onto her body. but props to the production if they did do that.
Yeah, well, I noticed. I paid attention. Hot. Go ahead.
Yeah. He is a very good looking man.
Yeah, he is. Especially that episode where he comes back in Girls. There's something so... Mm. And he's such a mess. It's a good looking dude.
Yeah, he does Broody very well.
Mm. Was he in The Sinner?
He was.
Yeah.
Was he hot in that?
Yeah, he had his face, so.
We're just having a little chat here, Colin, so why don't you fuck off into a corner somewhere? Don't dirty my floor.
I'll leave when Ava's done with my fucking cock in her mouth.
It's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of Possessor from across the interwebs. This one's from Holly Amanda on Letterboxd, who gives it 4.5 stars. And she says, "We get it, you vape."
I know, that was a theme, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was quite appropriate that the psychopathic murderer was a vapor as well.
Yeah. I saw this tweet that said a vape is, or a Juul, which is a kind of vape that's like the cool one to have, is just an adult binky, which I really appreciated.
Yeah. This one's from Jay on Letterboxd. He gives it 4 stars and he says, "It's like that one bit in Always Sunny where Danny DeVito keeps trying to kill himself, but he can't." See, there's so many parallels to this movie. Lily on Letterboxd gives it 3 stars and she says, "Why use the technology in this film for murder when you could use it to possess Lorde's body and make her release new music?"
Interesting.
But I have to know.
Come on, where's the album? Super Bowl next year?
I was going to say this review predates Solar Power, so I think she regretted her... her wish there.
Oh no, you don't like that album?
Well, I mean, most people slammed it, but
I think you just gotta let the girl live. She's not gonna write an album of like bangers when for the last 2 years she's just been like sitting indoors in New Zealand, like trying not to get a deadly disease.
Well, Charlie XCX did a album of bangers from her bedroom.
Yeah, but that's just
COVID.
Charlie XCX's journey. Lorde was just like on a different path. I don't hate her. I like her with on the beach with all her friends. I'm here for it.
Nah, that album is the encapsulation of you're boring, babes.
I haven't listened to any of it.
Surprise, surprise. and finally, Tears in Rain gives it 5 stars on Letterboxd, and they say, "You see a horror movie? I see a training video for my ideal career. I'm serious. I don't mind popping Sean Bean's eye out for a chance to drive around in other people's bodies. Mine's a lemon."
Oh, my God. Okay, so we all just need to talk about how, obviously, every time you see Sean Bean's name, you just say Sean Bean.
Sean Bean?
Yeah, well, that's what his name is.
All right, let's talk about that. Let's. What I'm do sure you we think? Can fill another 10 minutes on that.
What do you think high school was like for him? Sean Bean. Come on, that's funny.
I thought you were going to talk about the fact that he always dies
in everything.
But he didn't actually die in this one. He somehow survived
That's right.
That, getting like stabbed in the face
His
multiple times.
His quality of life would not be great, but yeah.
He technically didn't die, so good work, Sean Bean.
Sean Bean.
Yes, I remember Greg's chest hair being fairly aggressive.
Yeah, no, it's a war crime. No, it was literally reaching for her. I mean, you know, I'm convinced it detaches from his body at night and it scuttles around the halls of the girls' dormitory, rubbing itself against warm toilet sheets and slurping at the thighs of menstruating Buddhism students.
Only the menstruating ones.
Okay, let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you ever want to see the list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. And since this is the Halloween episode, if you're looking for some Halloween viewing, there's definitely some good horror recommendations sprinkled around that list. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it might be a good inspiration for what you're going to watch this Hallowed Eve. I'm going to start. My connection is Christopher Abbott, who played Colin, the main character in this movie. And I'm going to recommend a TV show he did in 2019 called Catch 22. Did either of you guys watch this?
What was it? I feel like I did.
So this is made by George Clooney, and it's set during World War II.
That's right. I think I remember him from that more than I do Girls. I can't picture him in Girls, but I can remember him in Catch 22.
Yeah, because he was literally the main character of this show. And it's obviously, it's an adaptation of the very famous book, Catch 22. And it's about a pilot in the American Army, and he is sick of being in the war, and all he wants to do is go home. And there's a certain amount of hours he has to do, and once he hits that amount of hours, he can be sent home. But every time he's about to hit that mark, the army extends the amount of hours he needs to do.
That's and a real
he
can catch just 22.
Yeah, he can never. He can. That's not the catch 22. So, yeah, they won't let him go home. So he's trying to find this loophole that will let him stay. It's very funny. It's also very emotional at times. Beautifully shot on location in Italy. A great cast of like a whole bunch of like actors you'll recognize from other stuff. And obviously George Clooney, he produced it and stars in it as well. And I feel like it just didn't get talked about as much as it deserved to be. Like it's a really solid show, really enjoyable show, but like I don't know.
What was it on?
I guess in Australia it's on Stan.
Mm.
In America it was on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know anyone else that's watched it. So Brendan, you watched it all?
Yeah. I think when it's a like one and done sort of thing, it can really just escape people's view. Like, because I feel like anything good needs at least 2 years before anyone watches it.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's still like on Hulu, on Stan. So, I would definitely recommend it. It's like a 8 or 10 episode season, one and done, really easy watch. So, Catch 22.
Cool. I'll probably check it out. I haven't seen it actually. So
nice. I think you'll really dig it, Lucy.
Cool.
Yeah. What's your recommendation?
So my link is Jennifer Jason Leigh, and I'm doing the anniversary party.
Okay.
Which she wrote and directed with Alan Cumming, and they both starred in it as well. Have either of you guys seen this movie?
No. I have not.
It centers around Jennifer Jason Leigh and Alan Cumming play a couple that are famous, and they're having an anniversary party for their 6-year wedding anniversary, and it very quickly like gets told that they're had a very rocky marriage, and so sort of over the course of this party things deteriorate more, and their famous friends get like in various degrees of being fucked up and giving them advice and like projecting their own shit, and like things come to light, and it's just very funny, and I really liked it. It's got a very aptly cast Gwyneth Paltrow, who plays a really annoying actress. She's very well cast. It's got Parker Posey, Kelvin Klein, Phoebe Cates, John C. Reilly. And there's a tiny Easter egg in there for any My Favorite Murder podcast fans, if you're a real fan, you'll know that one. And yeah, it's a good watch. I don't think everybody loved it. Like, it doesn't have a huge score on IMDb or whatever, but I enjoyed it.
I feel like anything with Parker Posey is at least worth a watch.
Yeah.
Cool. I need to check that one out.
Oh, cool. I love suggesting movies that you've never seen.
Brendan, what's yours?
I'm going to choose a movie called I See You, which is a movie that also has a creepy mask face on the cover of it and is a horror. So
okay. So is that I S E E Y O U or I the letter C and then U?
No, it's neither. It's the words I see you.
Like I as in the eye of your face.
Yeah, no, as in the letter I.
Yeah, but that's what he said. I S E E Y O U.
No, not like the sea, not like the ocean. Like,
no,
as in,
I just
like,
said S E E C. I just spelled out C. Are you doing this on purpose to be annoying? You're yes. in a real terrible mood tonight. Or I'm in terrible mood because of whatever you're doing.
The real horror is Brendan. yes, tell us more about I See You.
It's one of those like missing children kind of things that affects a town and has just like a fun, well, not fun, but it has a lot of like twists and turns that you don't see coming, but they don't feel like I don't know if you've ever seen a film where you're like, what the fuck, why did that happen, and then they try to explain it, you're like, well, that's not fair, like you gave me like nothing. Like, it's like if I watched a film and the whole time it's like, these two people are in love, and then it like pulls back and we're actually inside a movie. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. That's it's not that. It's the opposite of that. And so that's why you should see it.
I think you buried the lead. It's a Helen Hunt movie.
What's that? What's that got to do with anything? She wasn't in this film.
Yeah, I would have led with that for sure.
Yeah, like
Helen Hunt's the killer.
She's an Academy Award-winning actress. You didn't mention her.
I just never expected Brendan to recommend a Helen Hunt movie. It just seems very random. but
I just find it funny that like I'm trying to explain the film and like, to be fair, doing very poorly.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you're like, who's in this thing that Brendan's trying to spell?
All right, well, it sounds interesting. good work.
Yeah, because it got explained really well.
Eight. I fucking did it. I fucking went for it, and it was incredible. You did it?
You know those East Coast girls, man, it was revolting. It was inhuman. I'll never get the sin stain out.
If you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every body swap film we have reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we all going to put Possessor on our lists?
This is hard because in terms of enjoyment, I'm going to put it in between Here Comes the Bride and Dating the Enemy.
Ah, that's funny because I'm putting it in between Here Comes the Bride and The Dude in Me.
There you go.
Quite high up my list.
I'm putting it between Freaky Friday, the 1976 version, and Wish Upon a Star. So. Ooh. Yeah, very I feel high. Like the Freaky Friday swap was just a little more psychedelic. And
so, how are we going to follow up this fun fest? I thought next episode we should have a bit of levity after this dark horror film. So, I have chosen the 2021 teen comedy Super Cool, starring Damon Wayans Jr.
I was like, is this that fucking sequel to Pretty Cool?
No, that's called Pretty Cool too.
You scared the shit out of me. It's like Super Cool. teen comedy. What are you doing? Okay, yeah. Right.
If Pretty Cool sequel had a body swap in it, we would have done it by now. Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. So,
in Super Cool, lifelong friends Neil and Gilbert's undeniable bond is tested to the limits when Neil makes a magical wish that comes true. With the assistance of Neil's charismatic... with the assistance of Neil's charismatic neighbor, Jimmy, and Gilbert's wild ideas, and Gilbert's wild ideas...
Wait, which one's Gilbert?
Neil endures one epic night. As a treat to our listeners, I'm going to leave my whole, like, stumbling over that so they understand what it's like to actually record one of these
treat,
episodes.
Their little treat yeah. for Trick or Treat Halloween.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a fun one. The trailer looks like teen comedy, super bad, fun times.
I'm looking at some stills and it looks awful.
Cool. Can't wait.
I guarantee it will have 100% less child murder than this film did.
Thank you, God.
You guys got any big plans for Halloween?
No, but I'm wondering if in my new neighborhood we'll get trick-or-treaters.
Ooh,
you have candy.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say get a possessor mask so when you open the door...
I did find in the move, and it's funny, like, I buy all these things and then I think that I've thrown them out or whatever, and then I find they're actually all together. It is all my Halloween. There's like wigs of costume past and some accessories, yeah. So I could like throw together something and then be like, oh, she's dressed up, so it must be something, but really it's just like cobbled together.
Well, make sure you send pics.
Like, can you give tricks? Is that a thing?
No.
Like, it's always a question. Or is it like an ultimatum? Like, if you don't give us something...
Yeah, then we're gonna going TP to TP your yeah. house. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a trick or you get a treat or you're getting a trick.
So you can't like pull out a deck of cards and be like, ta-da.
No.
No. That's not how it works. Yeah. All right.
Kids aren't so into card tricks. It's not really what
they much prefer card tricks.
They just start crying. You do a card trick instead of candy and they just start screaming.
You like pull out a cat and like cut its like open it and then like, you know, bats
fly out. I have cats. What are you doing? That's
all right, this is going
Brendan's
into some
drinking.
Weird places.
Brendan's been drinking.
So, until next time, don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW. Was that scary?
DPW is demon worm. No, wait.
Demon poo. Penis.
Worm.
Wiener.
This week, anyway.
A penis yeah. wiener.
And review us on iTunes or Spotify. And I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
And my address is so they can send us candy.
So they can do a card trick for you.
Yeah. And I was Brendan Levi.
All right, thank you, bye.
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 Happy Halloween.
Spooky Halloween.
Ooh. I hope someone dies.
Oh, my God. Okay, bye.
The Swellcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Two Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.